Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, we're going to be in the book of James this morning. There in the text we just read, we're taking a break from the book of Mark. And so next week, or 2 weeks from now, Lord willing, we'll be picking back up. Actually, we're going to be doing some different messages as my mind is thinking. So looking into the new year, we'll be, Lord willing, picking up the book of Mark. And so we're looking forward to getting back into the book of Mark. But this morning, we'll be at James chapter 1, starting at verse 18. And so, as we think about our text this morning, the psalmist said some familiar words that many of you maybe were even reminded of as we were reading verse 18 through 22 from Psalm 119 at verse 1. There, the psalmist said these words: blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So true believers, if you are here this morning and you are a believer, a true gospel believer, then you are to be walking in God's law. True believers walk in God's law. They have, if you are a believer, we have the mind, in other words, of Christ. We rejoice. Believers rejoice in the testimonies of God revealed to us in the pages of God's Word, the Scriptures. But that's not the case, is it, for unbelievers? While believers rejoice in the testimonies of God's words and which is revealed in the pages of the Scriptures, unbelievers, it is not the case. Unbelievers don't rejoice in the truth of God's Word. We're reminded of this in Psalm 119, 155, that unbelievers don't seek God's law. So salvation there, Psalm 119, 155 says, is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. In Jeremiah chapter 6 at verse 16 says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But what did they say? We will not walk in it. No. You see, sinners are stubborn. Sinners are stubborn and indifferent to the way of God, to the Word of God, to the will of God. But believers, on the other hand, like the psalmist would say in Psalm 119 again, have chosen the way of faithfulness and set the rule. And he goes on to say, I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. I will run in the way of your commandments. And further, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Lead me in the paths of your commandments and incline my heart to your testimonies. It's characteristic of a true believer to be obedient to the Word of God. Further, in Psalm 119 and verse 7, there the psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And further, as we think about the Psalms, in Psalm 1, we're reminded that true believers are described as those whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And again, that their meditation is upon Him. They do so day and night. And so a person's attitude, our attitudes toward the Word of God, if we are a believer, is a test of our faith. So if there is a submission, a joyful outward response to the Word of God, that's evidence of a true inward transformation. James says in chapter 1, verse 18, that it all started with the Word of truth. There, verse 18, of His own will, He brought us forth by the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That's what he made us, a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That's what, as we think about him making us and being new in him, we are new creations. So we heard the word, and the word gave us the mind of Christ, and the Holy Spirit stirred that faith up in us, in our hearts, and we then believed in the word, and were born again. So it all began with the word. And so he reminds us here as the readers there in the book of James, the audience there, that our response to the word of God is a test of our faith. And so if you want to know whether you're a true believer, a true Christian here this morning, here's a test. If you're taking notes, we're going to be covering three different attributes this morning. The first is that James says, for us true believers have a right response that involves, first, a desire to receive the word with submission. A desire? Do you have a desire to receive the word with submission? And so a right response as a true believer is that we receive the word with submission or acceptance. There at verse 19, look there with me. My beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce what? The righteousness of God. And so he said we were brought forth or born again by the word of truth. So we know that and are aware of the power of the word that has transformed us. Peter echoes these very words in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 22 and 23. Starting at verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So the scriptures, we're reminded, are able to make us wise into salvation. So we already know the power of the word to transform. We see evidence of that real transformational work which is taking place when we see a person with a continual desire to hear the word of God. And this person who is a true believer will hear and study the word with an attitude of submission. And then as we look further in verse 19, that conviction is seen in several ways there in verse 19. It says there, let every person, what? Be quick to hear. Quick to hear. He's not saying be good listeners. So in this context, he's not saying be good listeners when people come and tell you the problems. So I think I've used this illustration before, but back in March, I had my sabbatical, and Pastor Andy would, I found out, visit my study, even though he knew I wasn't there. And so why did he do that? Because that's where he knew my look-alike would be at any time he needed to talk. And I found out that look-alike wound up being a puppet that he would spend some time talking to. Now, this is not the type of hearing that's going on in this context. That's being referred to in verse 19. He's writing in the context of the word of truth, which is the subject of verse 18, also verse 21, and 22 and following. So the context here is the word of God. And what he's saying is that we're to be eager hearers, eager listeners to the Word of God. We're to be on the edge of our seats, prepared and ready to hear what God has to say. So someone who is truly regenerate is going to be eager to grasp every opportunity to increase their hearing of God's Word. Because, why? Because they desire to have the mind of Christ. And so, do you take every opportunity that you most certainly can take? Yes, even with the responsibilities that you have in your life, to be able to expose yourself to biblical truth. If we were to go back to verses 2 through 12 of this same chapter, chapter 1 of James, it's verses 2 through 12 is all about trials. Trials that are difficult, trials that demand wisdom from above, a wisdom which only the Word of God can provide for us. And so when there are trials in our life, we should be quick to hear. When trials and tribulations take place in our lives, we should be quick to hear. We should want to run to the Word of God, where we can find the truth of God that meets us in that trial, that aids and assists us with biblical truth in the midst of all that's happening. And so we see that in verses 2 through 12. And then further, in verses 13 through 17, there it reminds us that when we are tempted to sin, we should never blame God. No, because God, verse 13 through 17, cannot be tempted by evil. And when He Himself tempts, He Himself tempts no one to do evil either. So we're drawn away, further as we see there in our context, we're drawn away, how? By our own desires. By our own desires, as verse 14 reminds us. And so the only way to avoid, as David reminds us, and as David knew, is to hide the Word of God in our heart, that we might not sin against Him. And so when there are trials, a true believer runs to the Word. There's a submission that is evident in our lives, which provides us the comfort in which we need. And when there are temptations, as we see all throughout Scripture, particularly here in this context, and that we experience regularly in our lives, the believer runs to the Word. Why do we run to the Word? Because it's in the Word that we find the power to endure in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the temptation in our lives. This is what David meant in Psalm 119, verse 111, when he said, "Your testimonies are what? A heritage forever. Forever. For they are the joy of my heart." The joy of my heart. Are the testimonies of the Lord a joy to your heart? Are they? They should be. They should be. So we're to be quick to hear. Pursue every opportunity to be exposed to the Word of God. And when we do so, receive it then with submission. Further, a true believer is one who is, as we see here at verse 19, not only a person to be is quick to hear, but a believer is one who is slow to speak. So we should be, cautiously, slowly, and patiently become a speaker in the midst of all circumstances. We should cautiously and slowly and patiently become the speaker in circumstances. But you know what? You might even be thinking right now, I don't do so well with that at times in my life. That's not normally how we respond, is it? In conversations with one another, What are we often doing in the midst of while someone else is talking? We're thinking about what we want to say when they get finished talking, rather than actually being slow to speak, being patient, and actually listening to what is being said. And so we're to be ones who are, even as we are listening to someone else speak, before they even finish, we're not to be already thinking about, how is it that I'm going to respond? No, not that that's completely wrong, but ultimately in the midst of it, even thinking of those things, we want to be slow to speak and listen well. Proverbs 10:19 reminds us here, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So just as we are prone to want to be heard, there may be some among the believers whom James was addressing who were quick to talk rather than slow to listen. He tells them, you need to what? Listen humbly to the word of God and represent the word of truth by being slow to speak. Then on in James, there at the end of verse 19, so quick to hear, slow to speak, but also slow to anger. Verse 19, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 20. Anger refers to this disposition of hostility. And in the context here, is the context of hearing the word of truth. So this implies that there are some people who get hostile, in other words, to the word of God, which some of you may experience even this week or last week in conversations with people, and maybe times that you share the gospel with them, and their response is one with anger rather than one of patience. But as an unbeliever, ones who don't want to hear the word of God, they don't like what they hear, this kind of attitude doesn't produce, when we do the same, doesn't produce a godly character, does it? Oftentimes we can rationalize our anger, often attributing it to our own upbringing, the pressures that we're going through in life in which we find ourselves under. Further in Proverbs 29, verse 11, it says, a fool, what does a fool do? A fool gives full weight, full vent to their anger. But a wise man keeps himself under control. And so if we are to profit as believers from the word of God, we should take notice that an angry spirit is never a listening, teachable spirit. So an angry spirit is never a listening, teachable spirit. So we must be slow to speak until we have come to a full understanding and can rightly represent what God is saying. And so we must never develop this hostility toward the word of God simply because it runs counter to the desires in which we may have. And so it is the word in which we must first run to and sit under, even in the midst of our own desires. And that's what it must be. Our own desires must be tested by and weighed by, is the scriptures. So those who are true believers are known by what? An attitude which with they receive the word of God. It's an attitude of submission, of acceptance. And then secondly, James says there's another characteristic for us to this desire to receive the word. We desire to receive the word not only with submission, but with clarity. Look at verse 21 there with me. Verse 21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive, how? With meekness, the implanted word. So first he's talking about putting aside, lay aside, simply meaning put off. A putting off of sin must occur in our life. So we want to receive with clarity the Word of God. Well, if we're weighed down with sin in our lives, if that's what we are living our lives in, then we're not going to receive the Word with clarity, clearly. And so we're to first put off that sin which is that we are in bondage to, that we are taking part in. 1 Peter chapter 2, the first two verses, reminds us that we're to put off all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, then long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it we may grow up into salvation. And then further, in Romans chapter 13, at verse 12, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us do what? Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. It would be ridiculous for, as we think about this a little further, for us to put on a tuxedo or a wedding dress over top of, you know, some filthy farm clothing. Clothing that we've had on and is just rancid, just filthy. Be ridiculous to do so. So we don't put on clean clothes on top of, you know, mud-covered, manure-streaked overalls. No. There's a putting off before there is a putting on. And James says here at verse 21, there should be a putting off of what? Put away all filthiness and wickedness. Rampant wickedness. So it's a word used of dirty clothes which soil the body. In fact, the word in Greek is rupera, and it refers to earwax. Yeah. Referring to earwax. So get rid of any dirt that hinders, in other words, your hearing. Don't be deaf because of the accumulation of that earwax. As it accumulates, as sin accumulates, and we're in bondage to that, that we're to put that off. As believers, we're to put that off. Unbelievers, we're to put that to death, and we're to look to Jesus for the forgiveness of that. We're not to be deaf to the accumulation of that earwax. In the same way, we shouldn't be spiritually deaf either because of the accumulation of our own sins in our lives. We're to get rid of it. We're to put it off. We're to clean it out. And so then he adds their rampant wickedness for us, which refers to this abundant amount of wickedness, of evil. This is the evil that he's referring to of a sin nature that still lingers and attempts to cling to our fleshly human nature. So this whole filthy lump that's within us of wickedness must be confessed. All that's going on in our lives and our hearts, it has to be confessed. It has to be repented of. It has to be dealt with. Those of us who are genuine believers here this morning understand this. And we have this desire to repent of these things in our life. We have this desire to be cleansed of these things in our lives. We desire to have this wax, if you will, of sin removed from our ears so that we can hear the word of truth. And as a result of doing so, then we are transformed by the truth. Not transformed by the things in this world that promise transformation, but we're transformed by the truth of God's Word. So if you're a true Christian, there is a gospel-believing Christian. There will be a desire to receive the Word as we recap what we've covered thus far. There will be a desire to receive the Word with submission, a desire to listen, a slowness in our lives to speak. No, not as one that's not wise. And there will be no anger towards the Word of truth. And further, there will also be a desire to receive the Word with clarity, a compelling desire in our lives to deprive oneself, ourselves, of filthiness and wicked, rampant evilness in our lives. Our third attribute this morning, James says, as we look at verse 21 further, there will be a desire, thirdly, to receive with meekness or humility the Word of truth. So that basically means that we're to have a teachable spirit. That as a believer, we're to have a spirit which is teachable. And we're to receive that Word with humility. That our lives are to be shapeable, moldable, to receive that implanted Word. That's humility that we are to have in our lives. To humble ourselves underneath the Word of God. Now, that's a challenging thing to do, isn't it? To humble ourselves underneath the Word of God. You know, sometimes we get our theology, our doctrine, things we believe about God, and we get it so well established in our lives that we can oftentimes become less teachable if we're not careful. And so one of the greatest challenges of someone who studies the Bible regularly is to go to the Word of God every time with this meekness that we must do, and a longing then, as we go to the Word with humility and a longing, that then it makes us teachable. So all of these are important for us in our lives, that this submission, this clarity and humility, so that we can receive the implanted Word. Only then can God plant the Word in our hearts. No, not at a sense that we're in control of God in any way, but as we are submitting to the authority of His Word, which He calls us to do. As we put off sin in our lives and we look to Him in meekness, to the Word with meekness and humility, providing that foundation, that soil, if you will, in the heart to receive the Word rightly, where transformation can take place, where that root, if you will, is ripe for the harvest and can be productive. So we should want this because it is this Word that verse 21 says, which is able to save your souls. John chapter 1, the first four verses over in John chapter 1. Flip over there with me. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, I'll read down to verse 4. In verse 14 as well. Starting at verse 1 of John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything was made that was made. Let me back up and do verse 3 again here. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Down at verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and of truth. And see, we, knowing of the sufficiency of the Word, of the Scriptures, but yet now this one, Jesus, has come. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. So this one who that we are to look to, Jesus, as unbelievers, but also as believers, that we are to look to Christ for, yes, for the forgiveness of our sins, to be justified as unbelievers, but also as believers, continuing to look to Jesus in our ongoing progressive sanctification in our lives for the continued forgiveness of our sin. And so we are to look to Jesus. It is the Word, as we're reminded in Jude chapter 24, it says, which continually that delivers your soul from sin and will someday present you and I faultless before God. It is this Word that saves you. As we've been reminded this morning, it's not only this Word, not only Christ that saves, but it is also that which continues to sanctify. He delivers our souls. Word, it rescues our souls from sin and iniquity. And to we who are being saved, to us as believers, if you are a believer here this morning, this continued aspect of being saved, the Word continues to be the power of God. And as I mentioned, it has delivered us from sin in our justification. So looking to Christ and forgiveness of our sin, being made right with God. But then this ongoing, continual delivery from sin through our sanctification. This morning, you who are here that have yet to turn to Jesus, to turn to the Word for the forgiveness of your sins, there's a call to you this morning to look to the one, Jesus Christ, the only one who can forgive you of your sins. To look to Him with submission, authority over your very lives, that you might also, as you flee your own sin, that you might with clarity know the truth of His Word as He brings about peace and liberty, freedom from your bondage to sin. We ought to be like Mary as we think about the Word who sat at Jesus' feet and heard His Word. We ought to be eager to learn from the Master. We ought not be like the crowds stoning Stephen, who cried out with a loud voice while plugging their ears. You can tell then a true believer. They want to hear the Word of God. And then further, so it's not just solely on that alone, right? Further we see in verse 22, it's not how we receive the Word, it's not only that that marks out this genuineness of our salvation, but how we react to the Word, there at verse 22. Verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't be just hearers of the word. There's a lot of people who are curious about the truth. The picture is not complete until you see in your own life, in their lives, evidence that they are not only just hearing the word, but they are also living it out. Are you here this morning? You're hearing the word. But yet in your life, there's not found a life of living out what you are hearing from God's word on a regular basis. Those who don't, he says, deceive themselves. Luke chapter 6 at verse 46 says, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This morning, as you think about these truths in your own life and what we are to be, how we are to be a hearer and also a doer, that you might look at your own heart, ask of your own self, this is a test of my own faith. What does my life look like? Am I regularly sitting under the preaching, the teaching of the word, and I'm a hearer, but my life is far from living it and doing it? So may the Lord, may you look to the Lord in repentance and faith. Starting at verse 18, I want to read these verses for us again this morning as we conclude. Starting at verse 18, of his will, own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let's pray. Father, we can overlook this critical reality of self-examination in our lives because it's so important for us to know the condition of our hearts. So help us not to overlook this critical moment of self-examination. The condition of where we're at today, who we are today in light of your truths. Father, I pray that you'll make it clear to every heart this morning. Convict, I pray, Lord, of sin which is clogging up our ears, so that we can hear your truth. Help us to confess and run to Christ, the Word. Thank you for those who eagerly receive the Word, submissively, clearly, humbly, and then who have compelling longing to live it out. Father, I pray that you would help us when we don't. But Father, for those who may be here who don't have that kind of longing this morning, who don't have that kind of passion for the truth to be received and to be lived, Lord, may they come to grips with the reality of their own spiritual condition and not allow one more day to pass without confessing
sin and embracing the Savior, Christ Jesus. But we're reminded in your word that all of our good works are like filthy rags before you. There's not a single one of us that is righteous. No, not one. Lord, we're thankful for the righteous one, Christ Jesus. And Lord, that we can be robed in his righteousness, the relationship with him. So I pray that you would spur on the unbeliever to repentance and faith. Lord, that you would spur on the believer this morning to repentance and faith and continued longing for that celestial city where we will be with you. And Lord, until then, may our passion and may our longing to be continually conformed into your image be a testimony continually of our lives. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.